The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fully free, fully fascinating, fully fresh Friday as we forge forward to find and fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A lot of F's in that. Thank you. First up, there's another one. The afflicted, the conflicted, the fearful-istic all have a place to go to find the comfort that they need. We discuss that next. Have you ever heard the expression, "I'll give you a piece of my mind"? It seems to prevail in Christian and non-Christian mindsets alike. Number one, most people can't afford to give people a piece of their mind. That's a joke. And then number two, try giving the heart instead. And finally, verses 1 and 2 are awesome, but we can't stop there. We need to review verses 3, 4, and 5 too. Why? Because there's more cool stuff for us to grasp.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. How much more? A lot. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can call us 972-445-0770. If you dial those numbers, I do not think the hot pad is on your phone. You will not burn your fingertips. Should be okay. Also, you can text 214-210-8483. And these numbers you can reach us by are simple. It's for either a pop question, prayer request, praise report. You know, sometimes you just want to share about something that's going on in your life that the Lord's doing, or something that the Lord kind of has walked you through. We are open to that. We think stuff like that is fantastic, and we're not trying to take a sports analogy in that process. Here is our opening trivia question. Pretty straightforward. What is the name of the disciple who was instructed to touch the nail prints in Jesus's hands after Jesus' resurrection? What is the name of that disciple that we are referring to? That's what we're asking you. Keep in mind, folks, any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Look at that. I didn't even get through the intro. We got people rolling. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hi, Ronnie. What's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm doing great, as usual.
All right. And that's a good thing, my friend. That's a good thing. The Lord has given you the gift of enjoying life, and that's a gift all by itself, right?
Amen.
Amen. All right, my friend. We have a disciple who had some instructions, and he was told specifically to touch the nail prints in Jesus' hands after the resurrection. Who was that, my friend?
Thomas.
That is correct, sir! Sometimes I kind of feel like the dude got a bad rap in the overall process because he's always known as Doubting Thomas, and it's like, yeah, that's not probably the nickname you want to go around with for thousands of years, but he did have that moment where he was like, I just don't believe it, and then the Lord said, looky here, and that was it, right?
Yep.
That's good. All right. Excellent job, my brother. Excellent way to start the show.
Thank you very much. You enjoy your weekend.
You too. God bless, brother.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Right. Excellent. That's the way we get rolling here at the David Spoon Experience, because you want to know why? It's it's...
Thank God it's Friday!
Thank God it's Friday! See that? I can do it too. I'm telling you, that sounds like that Dr. Pepper guy. Don't tell me it just sounds like that guy. Thank God it's Friday! You know, he's got that real high, you know, wow. Anyhow, let me tell you a couple things and we'll get into the teaching. Poor people. I feel bad for you because I'm in a good mood. Let's start with this first one. This is something that I'm sharing with you because I try to share the things that happen to me with you as a Christian because I think that that has a lot of pertinence to our lives and how we walk it. So I'm driving to work. Everything's fine. I didn't have the greatest night of sleep last night. So as I was telling Terrific T, decided I'm going to take a break from working out. I've been working out pretty consistently, taking a break, just chilling, driving, got the gas for the car, driving there. I'm about 6 miles away from the studio, which is not bad, 5 miles away from the studio. Flashing light comes on the traffic lights, which were off of, what is it, Royal Road or Royal something? So Royal...
Royalty Road?
Yeah, Royalty Road. That's it. See, I can't even think of it properly. It's Royalty Road. And it said all lanes closed. And there was an accident, and it was a bad accident, and all the lanes were closed. Now, so I'm driving down there, and I'm about 5 miles away, and I'm thinking, oh, man, okay, well, if I can't get to the studio, right, I'm preparing along those lines. And then if it's all lanes are closed on the freeway, which has been happening a lot around me lately, then what do I do? What's my alternate route? Then I go an alternate route. It was the wrong route. And then... because I don't know. I mean, what do I know? And then I go back the other way, and that's the wrong way, and I go back the other way. And so, you know, that's that moment where I turn to the Lord, and I go, come on now. Now, I know nobody else has ever done this before, where you're driving, and you get a little thwarted on where you're going, and you comment to the Lord underneath your breath, only I don't have an underneath my breath filter, and I'm like, come on now. So then I find the proper way to get there. I get to the studio. I normally arrive at the studio at 1:01 or 1:02. I did get here today at 1:03 and 30 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. So that whole big minute and a half. Do you know that on the way in from my car, I had to sit there and just repent? It's because, and here's what it is. It's because I didn't know what was coming and I couldn't see the traffic. And I didn't know how it was going to break down. I started making all my plans, right? Well, if it's this way, I'll go this way. If it's this way, I'll go this way. If it's this way, I'll go this way. Every one of those plans, if I had just done nothing, I'd have been there sooner. Don't tell me that's not a lesson for all of us. Like, ay, ay, ay. Use that lesson wisely, as the Lord has demonstrated to me. I don't have to cover every angle, every backside with a lack of trust that the Lord knows what's going on. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 through 6, say the following. For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side. Conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Paul is talking about his traveling experiences and what he was going through in his missionary journey, in this particular missionary journey. And I'd like to point out a couple things because there's a way where we say things where it's condemning towards one another, and you got to be a little careful. And here's what I want to bring up. So Paul is talking about going through these different afflictions. And he goes, look, there's conflicts without, which means that he's turning left, it's not good. He's turning right, it's not good. It's like things are like tense wherever he's going. So he says, conflicts without, fears within. He doesn't rebuke himself for fears within. I think he acknowledges in this text, and we could debate it, but I think he acknowledges sometimes he's short. He comes up short between him and the Lord, and he gets to be fearful, kind of like I did driving in thinking, I got to get this covered. I don't know what's going to happen. And typically, in case you're maybe not thinking it through this way, fear has to do with what is being anticipated more than anything else. Even if you did something in your past, okay, let me just use this as an example. I did terrible things in my past. If I got caught, I would be in trouble, right? But it's no longer what I did in my past. It now moves to the future as to if I get caught. So fear always pushes what will come of it all. And I think there are times where, as honest Christians, not trying to, do fake stuff, but trying to do real stuff. There's times where we maybe fall a little bit short. And he leans specifically on the Lord. He goes, look, outside there was a lot of conflicts. Inside there was a little bit, there's a possibility, the Greek word can mean insecurity, which means to not feel safe. Okay, to be insecure means to be not secure, not safe. And if you've ever felt not safe, that's what insecurity has to do with. And maybe it had to do with that more than fears themselves. But he makes this pivot and goes, look, this is what's going on, but God. Okay, now see right there? See that? Those six letters, those two words, that can change your life. But God. So in the dictionary, if you look up the word but in the Webster dictionary, it'll say on the other hand. Okay, so you go through all this stuff and blah, 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 blah. On the other hand, God. And see, that's it right there. If you and I could phrase the things that we encounter with that line, with that statement, with that truth, then we would do much better, even if we're going through conflict, even if we're being afflicted, even if we're feeling somewhat insecure. If we could get right to the but God part, we would recognize, but God, who comforts the depressed, comforts us by the coming, comforted us by the coming of Titus. By the way, the word depressed is to push down with a thumb. So if you've ever felt like you're being pushed down with a thumb, and that could be in a circumstance, that could be with people, that could be in your finances, that could be in your life, that could be in your body, it could be anywhere. Okay, it's not just necessarily mental, but it's the idea is you're being pushed down. And the whole answer to all of these things that we encounter is but God. And you just think, well, first of all, I would say it differently. Okay, on the other hand, God. That's how you'd say it. And the reason that we would do that is because you are going to have afflictions. You are going to have conflicts. You may have fears within. That may happen. And if it happens, it's a bummer. But you have to turn it to the Lord. The answer is but God. And he is a God who what? Comforts. And every time I think of comforts, just you have to forgive me for this. I used to have a really cool blankie when I was a kid. And you take that blankie and you put it around you. The world was okay. God is like a big blankie. Okay, maybe that's not the best way to say it. But I think you get the idea. He's like the comfort, right? Like a nice bubble bath when you just let everything. That's who God is. That's not what he gives. That's who he is. That's what's great about God. He's so cool. All right. Okay. Excellent answer, by the way, from Ronnie in the very beginning. And we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearted welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the father's like. Now, listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect heavenly Father who reveals his will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now, listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have. I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, 214-210-8483. Okay, for the people that are texting, 214-210-8483. People that are calling in, 972-445-0770. Ronnie opened us up with the answer right away. Didn't even get through the intro. He was right there.
He already knew.
He was ready. I think that's awesome. All right. Here's the next one. So let's see who's going to step up behind him. Here we go. What was the name of the angel that spoke to Mary, the mother of Jesus? What was the name of the angel that spoke to Mary, the mother of Jesus? Not a hard one. Not trying to make it hard. Let's recognize our place of contact, our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. HeMustIncrease.org is a great place if you like the ministry, if you're getting some love from it, if it's being a blessing for you and it's not taken away, which is kind of an important point to me, not taken away from you taking care of your core, okay, I would just simply say to you, please consider giving. Okay, we have somebody calling in. This is David. Who am I talking to? Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Who am I talking to?
Shabbat Shalom, David.
Oh, hey, brother. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and it was Gabriel.
It was Gabriel! You're correct! Excellent job, my brother. It was an excellent job. Do you remember the difference between Gabriel when he talked to Mary and Gabriel when he talked to Zechariah? There's one little small difference between those two. Do you remember what that was?
I'm sorry, say it again because I'm driving.
Okay, it's not a problem. What happened is, remember when Gabriel talked to Zechariah, Zechariah said, how do I know it's going to be true? And Mary said, I just want to know how you're going to do it. It's a big difference. Excellent job, my brother. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. Hey, David, I have a prayer request.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, we have some financial need, and it's a time sensitive. So could you just pray that God will provide a supernatural provision for us?
Yeah, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you right need. Now. Is it a family personal need?
Yes, sir.
All right, let me pray for you, okay? Because everybody will have faith with me, and that works better. So let's do it together. Father, we come before you. We come before you. We ask you in the name of Jesus Christ. We know that you are the God who supplies. We count on that. We trust in that. And we ask you to bless Sam and help him in his circumstance and his situation with the family, that you would provide all that they need and that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think in this situation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, brother.
You got it, man. And you call me. Give me an update. Okay, call me and give me an update on that, Sam.
All right, I will.
Okay, thanks, brother.
Thank you.
All right. Great job. All right, we're doing the calls today, right? Yeah, okay, got the calls. Okay, everybody loves me, right? You're not going to love me in the next segment. I'm going to ruin a lot of people's theology. It's not because I don't like you. I love you guys. I just, you know, I'm going to do something that you're all going to go, oh, you can't do that. And it's like, I just had a college professor tell me, you've had a very interesting life this morning. Just told me that. He goes, I did a little examining of you. You've had a very interesting life. It's like, you're not kidding. looking forward to my new class. I hope he survives. Love me. All right, Psalm 51. Okay, not overly complex. Many people know Psalm 51. Many people will actually, in many ways, call this the psalm that leads to the sinner's prayer. Here's what I want to do with verse 1. I just want to rip it apart, if you don't mind, and look at it for a little while. Here's the beginning of the psalm. It says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. This has to do with the sinfulness that David is going through and feeling, and you know it has a lot to do with, I mean, there's the whole Bathsheba process was a major component, and we're going to deal with that in the fourth segment. But what I want you to catch is this principle is true almost all the way across the board. He says, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. He doesn't say, have mercy on me because I deserve it and I'm fantastic and you should give it to me. He doesn't say, have mercy on me because everybody else is so rotten and I'm not that rotten. It's like, that's not how this goes, okay? You could be as good as you possibly think. You could be goody-goody two-shoes, and you will never be good enough to receive all of these graces from God. Here we have Sam calling in and asking for a prayer request for his family for a need. The Lord, I believe, will help him in his circumstance. Does the Lord respond to people because they deserve it or they earn it? No, you don't even get saved because you deserve it or you earn it. You get saved because you receive it and accept it, acknowledge it. You acknowledge God's testimony. You repent for your sins. You ask Jesus to live in your heart by faith. That's not something you do out of deservedness so that you can obtain it. That is something that is given as a gift. And here in Psalm 51, and in no uncertain terms, David prays, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. What David was counting on was God's unfailing love, not that he beat Goliath. Now, I want you to catch that. That was a fabulous spiritual moment. In this man's life, well, I mean, it's way beyond scoring the winning touchdown. I mean, he killed the enemy of the people of God. What a great moment. Guess what? As great as that moment is, that's not the basis for compassion. That's not the basis for love. That's not the basis for God to have mercy. The basis for God to have mercy, get this, is God. See, this is why. For first of all, for forgiveness, just in case you know, or in case you don't know, forgiveness is something that's extended that you can't get to. It has to be granted to you. Second, we understand grace is unmerited favor. Mercy is not receiving judgment you do deserve, and we live in those concepts, those principles with the Lord. His unfailing love, his great compassion, it's not based on being a superior theologian. It's not based on winning life arguments or Bible arguments. Okay, this is going to disappoint a few people. Or political arguments. You don't deserve the mercy of God because you won a political point in a discussion. That doesn't work that way. You don't deserve the mercy of God because you're always right. And anybody who has met my wife will find out very soon you are not always right. Care how smart you are. Being the smartest person in a relationship does not make it put you in a position to be the person that deserves or earns the mercy of God. It's based on his unfailing love, on his great compassion. He loves us. He doesn't always, by the way, give us a piece of his mind, quote unquote. He always gives us a piece of his heart. If God wanted to sit down with you in a room and put you in a chair and just had an angel show up, do you think that that angel could enumerate some of the things you need to change in your life? Do you think he can just go through your laundry list and go, oh, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're thinking this, this is in it. Nobody knows you're doing this, but God knows you're doing this. I mean, just the list would be unbelievable, right? But that's not how the Lord does it. What the Lord does is he takes a piece of his heart and gives it to you, not always a piece of his mind. And see, that's the kind of thing we need to be doing for one another, is to, you know, sometimes when you engage with people, believe me, it's very refreshing. There are times where I just want to give people a piece of my mind, you know, two Jews, three opinions, right here, pal. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is they don't always need that. What they need to know is that somebody loves them. What they need to know is somebody supports them. What they need to know is somebody is there for them. What they need to know is that if they're in trouble, they can turn to you, to me, to us. They need to know, get this, this will blow your mind. They need to know that we're a safe place. Now, you think, safe place, politics and schools and this and that. I ain't talking about that stupid stuff. I'm talking about a person needs to be able to unload on you and have confidence sharing all on their heart and you holding that in a steadfast confidence, loving and praying and caring for them. And the reason that people don't do that is because they've been hurt by other people. I've been hurt by it. I think everybody I've ever met in my life has been hurt by other people. Here's the bottom line. God will not hurt you. Not to do it to create pain. He will chastise you. He will discipline you. He will put you through trials. He will do all the stuff he needs to do to make you reflect Jesus Christ. But he will never hurt you to hurt you. People will. And so what we need to do is get a little better handle on giving people a piece of our heart. And when somebody's sharing with you and you know the answer, and don't tell me because people will share with you and you know the answer and you're thinking of the answer two or three answers ahead while they're still talking, take a deep breath and think about how you can extend what's inside of you compassionately wise and how you can grant mercy to them in the situation by drawing them closer to the Lord and by being a support for them in the Lord. Have mercy on me, O God, is what David said, according to your unfailing love and according to your great compassion. I pray from all that is holy that we could reflect that. That is some powerful stuff. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the guilt, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Hot topics.
So listen to this. So Jesus in one passage says, judge not or you'll be judged. In another passage, he says, judge ye righteous judgment. That's the King James Version. I like the ye. Judge ye righteous. So there's two different judgments going on here. One's okay, one's not okay. Okay? How does that work? Again, one is a condemnation, the other an observation, an evaluation, and a determination.
The David Spoon Experience.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All righty. Let's see. We got another trivia question. Get ready. This is another trivia question. So we've had people call in. They're answering before I even finish my intro, which is pretty good. It's pretty fast. Let's see if you can call in and answer. This one, I don't think it's really that difficult, but it's a fascinating one. Here we go. If you want to call in, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. The question is, which Bible person put out a fleece to test God? Which Bible person put out a fleece to test God? Interesting. Website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Email, David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. So check it out. We have stuff we put on the website, by the way, all the time, so you just never know what I'm going to put on there. I mean, literally, you don't know what I'm going to put on there. I mean, actually, you don't know. History. Do we do a history sound? We don't do a history sound. Okay. What would that be? How would you do a history sound? What would you like?
That's a good question.
I mean, how do you sound the past? Because then it would already be over. All right, somebody's calling in. All right, so I'm just asking. I was just thinking, how in the world would you do that? You know, it's like, this is the past. I mean, you can't go woo, 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 because that's just a sound effect for a sci-fi. So that doesn't, I don't think that would work. Okay, we'll think about it. Okay.
I probably think it wouldn't work.
Okay, all right, what do we got? Somebody calling in? Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Brother Ace.
Hey, brother, how are you?
I'm doing good.
All right.
Traveling like Sam, but anyway, everything's good. Everything's smooth.
All right, my friend. Now, we got a Bible person that put a fleece out to test God. What people don't like to talk about is God responded to it. But anyhow, who was that person who put it out there?
I think it's Gideon.
That is correct, sir. Wow, the phone's lighting up. We're getting it today, Doug. We're getting it done today. How are you feeling? So you're doing pretty good, though? You're moving forward, right?
Do what now?
You're moving forward. You're feeling good?
Yes, I'm better than I've ever been in my whole life, I think. So, and I give a lot of attribute to your ministry, David Spoon Ministries. You know, He Must Increase. I've increased my stamina and strength, and I'm just roaring like a lion. I could roar across from here to Fort Worth, and they'd hear me if I just stood out there and proclaimed the gospel with my natural voice. That's how I feel. So
that is awesome. Good. That is so cool.
That's great.
Excellent, my brother.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Now, thank you for being part of that, for sure.
You got it, my friend. And then we'll talk with you soon. Have a fantastic weekend.
You too. Okay. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Excellent. Boy, the phones are just like broom, 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 doing pretty good. All right, a little bit of history. We can't figure out what the music is. Like I said, if you went woo, 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 like for sound effect, that's just like a sci-fi sound effect. So I don't really think you can come up with something that sounds in the past. For those that want to know, it's National Spumoni Day, which is some kind of Italian dish. Now, somebody's going to text me and go, Dave, it's this and this and this. I just didn't know. Just wrote it down. Because I don't think it's the ice cream. Oh, maybe it is. I don't know. It's Senior Citizens Day. Okay, I qualify for that. As soon as you can get a meal at Denny's at 10% discount, you're a senior citizen.
Woo!
Yeah, that's about the only person that would say that. Today, Hawaii. In 1959, Hawaii became the 50th state of the United States. I've been to Hawaii a couple times. It is cool. I don't care what anybody. It is really the one thing about Hawaii. When you land in Hawaii and you get off the airplane, you know you're like somewhere else. You're like going, okay, this is different. Really, rather cool. Here's something that's fascinating: the Mona Lisa on this day in 1911 was stolen. Since found, but stolen from the museum. That's amazing. And then for those that are into baseball, on this day in 1931, Babe Ruth hit his 600th home run. And last but not least, on this day in 1993, they lost the Mars rover, the $813 million rover. Like, oops, it's not in the back seat.
I know somebody got fired that day.
Yeah, somebody... The pressure line for the gas erupted, but then they lost it. It's like, whoops. Okay. All right. Spumoni is ice cream, by the way. Deb just texted me and told me. Thank you, Deb. See, we have people all over the country, all over the state going, listen to what Dave says. If he says something really wrong, say something about it. Okay. I appreciate that. All right. So Gideon was our answer on the fleece. Just remember, he did the double fleece. People should recognize, and I'll just say this. I don't know that I really need to say this, but people should recognize that when Gideon was asking for that, he wasn't asking for a sign that God was real. And when Jesus said the generations seek after a sign, the only sign given it's going to be that of Jonah. So there's a kind of a misunderstanding between the seeking of guidance from God and the affirmation that God is God. So you kind of need to separate those in your brain. If you're asking God for direction and you're trying to follow in his plan and you say, Lord, I'm not sure where to go. Can I get some kind of indicator? That's one thing. If you're encountering God and you go, well, I don't know if you're really God or not, so you're going to have to do this to prove it to me, that's entirely different. Okay. One thing is in the pursuit of God. The other thing is in you're trying to get God to give confirmation that he is God. And so I want you to not get stuck in that. In fact, I think this is a really good point, and I'm going to actually teach on this versus what I was going to teach on. So there is this just happened to me today. So now I know the Lord is not just convicting me, but teaching me. So I was praying today, and as I do every day, and while I was praying, you know, somebody had come to mind. I prayed for that person, and I prayed that the Lord would, oh, Lord, this would really give me some affirmation about you being with me in this process if this person did so-and-so. Okay, if they did this and did this. Now, I don't think that's abnormal for Christians or people to believe, but what I got challenged with immediately, which, by the way, I mean I was really challenged with it, and then I'll tell you what the Lord told me, and you can just work through it, is after I said that, I stopped while I was praying, and I said, wow, that's really cheap of me, isn't it, to sit there and say, you're with me because I've given you this to show me, and if you show it to me, then I know you're with me. When I have, in fact, Deuteronomy 31:6, which says the Lord is with me. Hebrews chapter 13:5, which says the Lord is with me. Matthew chapter 1, which says the Lord is with me. Matthew chapter 28, which says the Lord is with me. Exodus 33, which says if you're not with me, I'm not going anywhere. And Haggai chapter 1 that says the Lord is with me. I don't need a token for me right now for me to know that the Lord is with me. I have his word that makes that promise and that declaration. Okay, now just follow what I'm going to say, okay? Ooh, I'm going to share something really deep. Ooh, I don't know. Okay, so It's not that I think that God never gives those fleeces, and I think Gideon's situation was definitely unique. He was going up against an army. If you didn't really follow much of the story, he's going to have about 300 men fighting against 120,000 people. It doesn't really seem like it's a logical course of action. But so I would tend to think, yeah, maybe in that case you really need a sign, because that's just way, way out there. But I asked the Lord because I felt bad about reducing him to some kind of response that would give me verification. I said, why do I do that? Why inside of me do I go to this place where I say, if you do this, then I'll believe this? Why am I not just believing your word? Why am I not just trusting you? And that was exactly what the Lord said. You're not trusting me. And then I asked why. Because I want to know why, after 42 years of Christian faith and of seeing 10,000 miracles, let alone 1,000 miracles, let alone 100 that would shake people's lives to the core, why do I still operate in that place? And I really believe the Lord answered me. He said, because you've been hurt. And it's like, because of my own pain, I'm distrusting. And I think that really was the Lord. And I don't think the Lord is trying to say to me, you know, hey, let's just have this conversation. We're just going to, you just write this down. This is holy writ. That's not what I'm saying at all. But for me, my distrust in the kingdom of God, probably my distrust in the Lord from time to time has to do with the fact that the very first church I went to and committed to and became a part of ended up being a self-actualizing cult. And it was like, that is not the way you're supposed to start this stuff. And so there's part of that part of me that's kind of defensive. And I think that it's not inappropriate to say to other believers, the reason that you ask for signs in many situations is because you don't trust the Lord. The reason that you don't trust the Lord may be because you were hurt, maybe because you were burned, or maybe because you're hurting now. That's totally possible, totally realistic. But the Lord is trustworthy. And he is faithful. It's funny because one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is faithfulness. And that we know that that fruit comes from the Holy Spirit. That's a fruit that comes from God, faithfulness, that he can be relied upon. And when we're asking for signs, there are times where I'm not asking the Lord to confirm that he's real. I'm more doing it in the Gideon mindset of trying to find direction. But I'm still dropping below good old-fashioned faith when I'm asking God to give me some kind of sign. Because you know what you don't have to use when you get a sign? Faith. You just have to use obedience when you get a sign. Big difference. I don't know where that came from, and I know that's for somebody as well as for myself, so let the Lord use it and make it a part of you. That's all I can say. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God for you and I. God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death. That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Boy, oh boy, I did not think I'd be sharing that today. That last little segment, that's exactly what happened. I even wrote it down in my little, I have a little notebook. So one of the worst things that we do is we don't keep track of the things that God has done in our lives. And then we go to God and we go, well, what have you done for me lately? And I've been keeping not a journal, but just kind of like a bullet point thing. And I have in the last year, I have 221 listings. And it's just like, you know, that's just in a year. I wonder how did that look if I'd have kept that on my entire walk. But that's for everybody. If when the Lord does anything, write it down. Write it down. Write it down. What do you think a memorial is? That's what it's for, to remember. Let's go to our next trivia question. Well, we got three trivia questions on the phone. Can we make it a fourth from a different person? That'd be the first time that happened on the show. I don't know if it'll happen.
Fingers crossed.
All right, here we go. All right. You know you can call in 972-445-0770. By the way, that does not discourage people, by the way, from texting 214-210-8483. Never want to discourage anybody from reaching out to us. Quite forward. Here we go. Lazarus had two sisters. What were their names? Lazarus had two sisters. What were their names? There you go. Let's remember our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. And so just keep in mind, if you want to check out the website, and if something happens where you're able to give or whatever, we encourage you to do so because we're at the 21st, right? So between now and the 24th, you're going to hear that my tonality go up. Then the 25th and 26th and 27th, you'll hear it increase even more. Okay. So you know what's going on. So that is the question on the board. Lazarus had two sisters. What were their names? Got people already checking in and not calling in, but texting in. Excellent job, everybody who's doing that. Here we go. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this book that I have been recommending and that many people have from the show reached out and got the book. And believe me, like I said, I'm getting nothing from it. I mean, I don't even know if Ray knows we're doing it. The book is called This Day. It's from Ray Bentley. You can do it right off of our website. We don't get any commission or any affiliate agreement and nothing like that. It just takes you directly to his website so you can order the book. And it's a devotional, and I think it's an excellent devotional. And I'm going to read today's devotional and share with you. When you guys read a devotional, and I would even encourage you to do this in scripture if you can from time to time, you don't just read it to read it. Okay, reading it to reading it is like, try and read to hear. Try and read to listen. Try and read to absorb. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this to you, and this is what I do when I read stuff from people is I think about it and I comment to it, which is exactly what I'm about to do. Here's the one that came out today from Ray from that book, because he does it on an everyday basis. It's called A Most Encouraging Example. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. If ever there was a man who loved God and was called for a purpose, it was David with all his flaws and weaknesses. The Lord continued to work on David's character just as he does with us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The trials of David's household, which grew in part out of his own sin with Bathsheba, were a source of heartache for him. Yet God taught him grace and used him as an example for generations to come. He promised David, "When your days are fulfilled, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." The Lord was referring to Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy One, who would come through the lineage of David and establish the kingdom of God forever. The next chosen king after David, the one who would build the temple and take Israel into her golden age, was David's son, Solomon, the son of Bathsheba. I doubt that David, the son of the woman with whom the king committed adultery, would have been a lot of church committees' first choices. What kind of example would that be for kids, after all? God chose Solomon because he was making a statement. God redeems sinners and makes them sons and daughters. He forms the character of his son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. Choosing Solomon demonstrated God's ultimate grace, proving that all things truly do work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Hang in there. The word character comes from the root word to tear or to cut in, to engrave, or to cut in furrows. The experiences which are engraved into our souls build our personality and influence our convictions, our desires, our actions, and our character. The Lord allowed David's life to go through the tearing, the cutting, the engraving process. Only a man who had God's character engraved into his soul can write a passage like, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." In the annals of world history, David is remembered as a great king, statesman, warrior, and poet. And his heroic deeds, his character and his charisma, his talents, passion, continued to be recounted, dramatized, studied, preached about. But I believe David would ask us to look at his life as an example of God's handiwork, of how the Lord can take any one of us, any one of us. Did you hear that? That's you listening right now. Regardless of our origins, circumstances, abilities, strengths, and weaknesses, and make us into a man or woman who will be remembered like David was, somebody after God's own heart. Wow! That's from the book that I've been encouraging. Come on, that's some serious, serious stuff. What you're getting when you read that is this understanding that David was not perfect. Hey, here's a clue. Neither am I, neither are you. Okay? I'm just going to be really nice about it. Okay? People are not perfect. Jesus, of course, was perfect, being fully man and fully God, but you and me, yeah, not so much. So the idea is to see that God can take even from our big troubles, our big trials, our big mistakes, or people that have mistaken us or done bad things to us, can take the midst of all of that and even in the worst of it, create the best of it. Consider this. God took David, who had committed adultery and murder, and challenged David, and David repented and asked for forgiveness. And God granted him forgiveness, and then from that same relationship brought about the golden age, the best that Israel would ever see. And you think, well, how can God do that? Well, that's why he's God. And he can do that in your life, whether it's mistakes made against you or mistakes you've made. The grace and the mercy and the love and the kindness and the compassion and the protection and the wisdom and the comforting of God are yours if you simply turn your face towards him. Everybody tries to, well, you've got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. The word repent in the Hebrew and in Greek means to change direction, literally to change of mind of thought in direction. Turn your face to the Lord. Even if you have been looking at the Lord, turn it a little more and look a little more. Because it's in his face that you will find grace and mercy. It's in his heart that you will find that comfort and love. It's in Jesus Christ that you will find forgiveness of your sins. It is by the hand of God that you will find out that the Creator is full of life and wants to give that life to his creation, which is you. And as bad as things can look, and as bad as things can feel, and as bad as things can seem, they are no match for the sovereignty of God, who in your life, it only takes a moment for him to bring about a miracle. Now, how cool is that? All right, we got somebody that called in, but then we don't have time to take it, so you can't do much about that. Okay, so Lazarus, our good friend Lazarus, who was his sister? Martha and Mary were Lazarus's sister. I think we only got 30 seconds, so if they wanted to call to give the answer, they could, but that's all the time we got. Keep in mind that Martha was more of a worrywart, and Mary was more of a chill out. try to be more of a Mary than a Martha. Okay. Yeah, they could be ordering pizza. You never know.
I should have placed my order.
Yeah, I want a large pepperoni. Okay, never mind. Double cheese. Well done. Okay, that's me. All right, folks. So much cool stuff happening next week. That's all I can say. We really hope you turn in. We hope it's a blessing for you. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 71-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.